Welcome to the Buckmaster Show. It's the midweek edition, Wednesday, September the 4th. Or is it the 5th? 4th? Oh, is it the 4th? Okay, the 4th. You know, I'm all backwards this week, coming back from vacation. Today feels like Tuesday, the second kind of work week day, but actually it's Wednesday. But anyway, it is the midweek edition of the Buckmaster Show. We're live each weekday from noon to 1 on AM 1030 KVOI, Tucson's intelligent voice. We're streaming our show live at buckmastershow.com and kvoi.com, and we make it very easy for you through our podcast program to hear the program on your schedule anytime, anywhere in the world. We've got the show posted thanks to our ace producer, Rosemary Brandt. Show is usually up within an hour of its conclusion at buckmastershow.com. Also picking up the program, tucsonsentinel.com and tucsoncitizen.com as well. During the noon hour, we'll get things whirling with Ramon Valadez, Mr. Valadez, chair of the Pima County Board of Supervisors. At 12:30, a conversation with Dr. William Hartman. Bill Hartman is the co-founder of the Tucson-based Planetary Science Institute. He's one of the world's renowned planetary scientists. His recent award is really big time, the Shoemaker Distinguished Lunar Scientist Award. We will talk about Dr. Hartman's remarkable career at 12:30. If you have a comment or question, you are invited to call us on the Buckmaster Show live line 790-2040. We also invite you to follow us on Facebook, where we are very easy to find. Just find us at Bill Buckmaster, parentheses, Buckmaster Show. Let's welcome now the chairman of the Pima County Board of Supervisors, Supervisor Ramon Valadez. Ramon, how are you today?
I'm doing very well. Thank you for the invitation to be here with you today, Bill.
Yeah, on this Wednesday, not Tuesday.
The 4th or the 5th?
Oh, man. Talk about looking stupid at the beginning of the program. Anyway, I thought the Tucson Padres were pretty much done in Tucson, but the owner of the Padres, the group that owns the Mountain Star Sports, came before you and your colleagues yesterday as kind of a safeguard for them in case they need to play some games at Keno next year, because the Padres are moving to El Paso and their stadium may not be ready.
Correct. What's happened is that at this point, they're not really sure at what point in the year their stadium is going to be ready. So they've asked us to do an extension. And what we did is we agreed to the extension. Obviously, if they don't play next season or if they play part of the next season here, the county will receive, or the stadium district rather, will receive $35,000. If they pay the whole season, it bumps up to $70,000.
$35,000 is $35,000, and I guess to a group like Mountain Star, this is kind of like, it's sort of insurance for them. Even though the folks in El Paso are saying the stadium is going to be ready, they just want to be covered, right?
Right. Obviously, they want to have a place where they can play their games, and if they're not sure at this point, obviously, when you're dealing with construction, it's very hard to predict when they're going to be the exact date finishing that construction, and they want an insurance policy.
Meanwhile, what about the future of Keno, the sports complex?
You know, I would tell you that the future of Keno as a multi-use facility is very bright. Obviously, you're familiar with the investment that we're making in soccer down at Keno, which is substantial, well over $2 million in the two fields across on the north side, that used to be the Arizona Diamondbacks facility. Additionally, earlier this year, we've agreed, at least for this next MLS spring training season, to do $280,000 as a match for MLS soccer. Obviously, it brings several million dollars into our community. So $280,000 for several million dollars seems like a fair exchange.
And there's a huge following for professional soccer. I'm not particularly a follower, but I know I do appreciate the fact that there are a lot of people that follow professional soccer.
You know, absolutely. I'll tell you what, I've never been a huge soccer fan, but when you've got professional teams of that caliber and that type of player here, It's hard. You're hard pressed not to at least go out and watch some of the games. And it's a very, very enjoyable experience. And obviously, we're bringing in visitors from out of town that are bringing in money and spending it here in our community. And that's, I think, a very, very positive thing for all of us.
When are those fields going to be ready? The two fields, are they under construction now?
They're under construction now. I believe they're getting fairly close. I believe we originally had a date sometime in the fall of this year. That's well underway. We expect it to be complete before the next MLS spring training season.
Ramon Valadez is with us. He is the chairman of the Pima County Board of Supervisors. There's a couple of very important issues that we want to talk about in the next 20 minutes or so. One of them has to do with, why don't we start with this I-11, the Interstate 11, which is referred to, I guess, as a bypass, or how would you refer to this? It's 56 miles, pretty much. Is that what we're talking about?
Roughly, Bill. And it really depends on the alignment. So I can't give you the exact amount. That's one of the options. What happened originally is that there was discussion of I-11 as part of the Canamax corridor between Canada and Mexico, our two biggest trade partners. And what happened as a result of that is that there was a look taken at what was going to be happening at part of the Metro Tucson interstate system. And there was some concern. Today, you've got numbers ranging from 33,000 all the way up to 175,000 cars per day. 19 years from now, you're looking at about 243,000 down to 120,000 cars within that Metro Tucson kind of dynamic of I-10, I-19. So there was a proactive look that was taken to see, okay, if we're looking at freight and cargo traffic, or commercial traffic, how are we going to best move them through our community and taking advantage both of our employment centers, which employs almost 40,000 jobs if you include the health campus, Raytheon, the Science and Tech Park, and the major, major employment centers in our community. How can we best accommodate that, make sure that there's access to the Port of Tucson, the cargo freight and passenger freight of TAA. So the look was, how can we take advantage of that without losing anything? So there was a discussion about creating a bypass that bypasses I-10 and part of 19 through the metro area where those numbers that I just cited are going to be. And originally the concept had it going through some very environmentally sensitive lands. The County Board of Supervisors opposed not the concept, but the alignment that was proposed. And since that time, we have actually had our staff come up with an alignment that doesn't go through environmental sense of the lands or minimizes that impact and frankly gets the job done. Right now, the truth is it's an option, but it has restarted that discussion of how do we become part of the Canamex corridor. Because the discussion up until now has been connecting Las Vegas as part of the Canamex corridor to Phoenix. That's a little bit like talking about the crown of a tree without talking about the trunk and the roots.
Yeah, so I mean, eventually it's going to have to be dealt with. You can deal with Phoenix and Las Vegas, but eventually it will have to be dealt with moving the products to and from the border. And by the way, we have a plan tomorrow. The mayor of Nogales, Sonora, on the program, and I'm sure he is going to be in favor, an upgraded transportation system through Arizona. You had that map in front of me, the route that you were suggesting. Yeah, here it is. That it does bypass the environmentally sensitive land.
Right.
It looks right. On paper, looks like it makes sense.
This is just an option, Bill, that we wanted to make sure that we presented to the State Department of Transportation and those people that are considering it so that they realized, you know what, this is doable. This is possible. Now, will the alignment be like this? We don't know. But the concept itself is solid. We need to make sure that we have access to our airport and to the inland port. who, by the way, yesterday was just was successful in obtaining a $5 million Tiger Grant 5 grant from the federal government to improve that facilities and make it truly multimodal and the only inland port in the Southwest.
Really? They got this grant just yesterday?
Yesterday.
That's certainly good news. Why don't we take a break right here with Ramon Valadez. When we come back, is there a bond election in Tucson's future? And if so, when is that going to be? Ramon Valadez for the second segment of the Buckmaster Show on this midweek Wednesday edition. We'll be right back.
Hi, this is Al Zaragoza, the voice of Culligan Water in Southern Arizona. You know the benefits of soft water, right? Softer laundry, softer skin, hair, and spot-free glasses. And once you have soft water, you can't live without it. But did you know a Culligan high-efficiency water softener saves up to 46% on water, salt, and energy compared to a time clock water softener? Now that's efficient. A Culligan high-efficiency water softener really is the world's most efficient water softener. So put it to work in your home and start saving today. It virtually ends hard water spotting throughout your entire home, from your glasses to the shower doors. In fact, it makes all your high-efficiency appliances work better and last longer too, like your dishwasher and washing machine, even your water heater. A Culligan high-efficiency water softener delivers real soft water and real savings. Call Culligan Water at 792-9700. 792-9700. Culligan, better water, pure and simple.
The average person in the USA today takes over 12 prescription medicines each year. And if you are over age 65, it is more than 17 medicines. CredibleMeds.org is a nonprofit organization dedicated to helping inform you and your healthcare providers. Over 30,000 people die each year from reactions to their medicines. Don't be one of those numbers. Be informed and stay safe. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and take control of your healthcare by taking your medicines safely.
Want the best care for your companion animal? Then Veterinary Specialty Center of Tucson is the place for specialty vets for your special pet. With a state-of-the-art, award-winning facility, only the Veterinary Specialty Center of Tucson delivers compassionate, comprehensive veterinary emergency and specialty care 24/7 in a wide range of fields. Veterinary Specialty Center of Tucson at North La Cunada Drive at West River or online at vscott.com. That's VSCOT.com.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
As a small business owner, I know the importance of a certified public accountant you can trust. That's why I recommend my CPA, Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates, proud sponsors of the Buckmaster Show. Located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com or follow the live link on buckmastershow.com.
For more than 40 years, Pima Community College has helped our neighbors realize their dreams, prepare for meaningful employment, improve their quality of life, and build a better community. We haven't done it alone. Your continuing investment in education has made it possible for us to prepare hundreds of thousands of Southern Arizonans for jobs. Today's PCC students will be tomorrow's firefighters, nurses, police officers, teachers, and small business owners, the backbone of a smart, thriving Tucson and Pima County. Our region has not been immune to the unprecedented economic challenges of the past few years. During this time, PCC has prided itself on offering crucial programs and services at an extremely affordable price. We remain one of Arizona's best education bargains. With your ongoing support, we look forward to embarking on new directions and building new community connections that ensure the people of Pima County will prosper today and in the future. For more information, contact us at 206-4500 or visit us at pima.edu. Pima Community College, developing our community through learning.
Welcome 12:19 now on the Wednesday edition of the Buckmaster Show. This portion of Buckmaster presented by our friends over in Silver City and Grant County, New Mexico, sponsoring this portion of the Buckmaster Show. And they have asked me to tell you, our listeners, about the Pick-A-Mania. It's a festival of bluegrass, folk, roots, and Americana music. In fact, it's a weekend's worth of free music in Silver City, and that's coming up September the 13th, 14th, and 15th. We send so many people from the Buckmaster Show over to Silver City, and everybody comes back saying the same thing. Bill, I had a fantastic weekend over there, and now after the summer rains, they had some really nice rain in the Gila National Wilderness. Very beautiful. Three and a half hours east of Tucson. It's a fun weekend getaway. Lots of great places to stay, including Little Toad Creek Inn, Burrow Mountain Homestead RV Park, and Spirit Canyon Lodge. You can find out more at southwestnewmexico.org. And from Grant County, New Mexico, to Pima County, Arizona. The chairman of the Pima County Board of Supervisors is with us in studio, Ramon Valadez. We've been talking about the future interstate, Interstate 11. Now, the other big topic concerning Pima County government is perhaps a bond election in 2014 or 2015. Supervisor Valadez, we had Mr. Huckleberry, the county administrator, on the Friday program a week or so ago, and he was saying it's kind of looking more and more like 2015. Are you still open, though, to 2014?
I'll tell you what, by law, we're actually 24 months behind on the property assessed values, obviously because of due process types of laws that, again, today's property tax assessed valuation that we use today was from 2 years ago. So there's a built-in 24, sometimes 36-month delay in terms of the AV. As a result of that and the drop in AV that we've seen, we many years ago agreed and voluntarily capped what debt Pima County charges in terms of a rate. And at one point got fairly close to it. And so there was a concern that just mathematically, obviously, the rate times the assessed value is the overall levy. So we had to be careful in terms of being able to issue more debt. I'm open to a 2014 discussion, although I have to agree with Chuck and that it's starting to look more and more like we may need to do it on 2015. Again, I've got several members of the bond committee who believe it has to be 2014. I'm still open to that argument, but it has to be a very good one.
And are there several bond advisory board members who would like 2015? Or the ones you're hearing from want to go with 2014?
The ones I'm hearing from generally tend to want to go 2014. Obviously, if 2014 comes and we don't do it, they will be in to make an argument for 2015. I mean, obviously, Bill, the need hasn't gone away.
Right. And I was just going to say this many citizens put their input in over the internet when the county asked, tell us what are some of your popular projects, what would folks like to see. The county released a top 25 list of the most popular projects. What did you make of that list?
Well, I was actually very happy to see it, the level of involvement.
17,000 right. folks votes right. total.
17,000 folks took 15 to 20 minutes or 10 to 20 minutes, depending on how fast you went through the survey, to actually let us know what they thought about the bond and what they thought was important. So as a general consensus, I think we were very pleased to have heard back a great deal from our community. There's probably going to be several more of those kinds of surveys so people have a way of making sure they can let us know which particular projects are a greater priority to them and which ones they'd like to see placed on the bond package.
Were there some surprises as far as you were concerned? And what well, some of the popular ones, the Mission, San Javier del Bac, the restoration there tallied very high.
Right.
Yeah, but were there some others, though, that surprised you?
No, not really. having met with several members of the bond committee and trying to meet with different folks out in the community as a broad spectrum, you hear a lot, and frankly, because of the times that we've been through and continue to go through, as I said earlier, the need is certainly there, and so the list of valuable and certainly worthwhile projects continues to grow.
Are there some things that are really priorities as far as the county is concerned, like perhaps flood control projects or things like that, that really need to be on the list as far as you're concerned?
Well, certainly, obviously, one of our principal responsibilities as a county is health and public safety. So obviously, if there are areas in which human life is at risk, that has to be a priority. Beyond that, there's a lot of need in terms of infilling a lot of our communities with obviously multi-purpose lands, whether that be open space, whether that be parks, whether that be recreational opportunities, whether that be different types of employment opportunities. Obviously, one of the things that we've talked about in the recent past is the aerospace and defense corridor that I believe we're now calling the Sonoran Corridor.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously, all these are priorities, and we need to make sure that we try and balance them.
All right, let's go to Dan. Dan is with us on the Buckmaster Show live line. Go ahead, Dan. You're with Supervisor Valadez.
Thank you very much. Yes, I'm curious about the old church down there. That's still owned by the Catholic Diocese, I think. How is it that we're putting state tax money into a Catholic church?
At this point, Dan, we actually haven't put any money on there. It was one of the things that showed up and surveyed high on the survey that we did, and it's actually not state money. It's property local generated property tax money through debt service. But at this point, we haven't put any money on it. It's just we're talking about it because it showed up high on the survey.
Yeah, so no decision has been made, and it's the restoration of the East Tower at the Mission, and whether or not that will actually make the final list. It's just what I guess this was near the top of the list as far as what people would like to see money invested in, those that anyway that voted.
Correct.
Yeah. Okay, so when is a decision going to be made on when, whether it's going to be 2014 or 2015?
Well, I'll tell you what. Generally, what we've done is, as you know, Bill, this is a very public process that is driven by the public. We have a bond committee. It's not the board that actually makes the recommendation. We make the final decision. At some point, probably late this year or early next year, we'll hear a recommendation from the bond committee that obviously represents all municipalities and many different special interest groups in our community. On whether or not they feel it needs to be a 2014 or a 2015 election. And then obviously the final decision will be ours, but it will be based on that recommendation as well as the county administrators.
What did you think the county administrator, what did you think of his comment in reaction to the Star's 8-day series on poverty? Mr. Huckleberry said everybody has to check their egos at the door. No single entity or person is basically going to pull it off. It's going to take a team effort, and sometimes that's a little hard in Southern Arizona.
Well, I'll tell you what, if there's a fault to be had, it's all of ours. Every single one of us, there's no entity. But the truth of the matter is we can deal with the fault or we can deal with the problem. I agree with Chuck. I think we need to forget about what caused the problem, move forward and solve that problem. Obviously, some of the census figures have shown that one in every five people in our community are in poverty. A lot of the same kinds of information has come out that in a standardized test, they test low, below the ninth grade level in math and reading. Obviously, that's part of the issue. I mean, if you're going to put somebody into a GED program, for example, the odds of success if they're testing that low are not high.
Mm-hmm.
And the only one right now that is doing any sort of remedial training or paying for such remedial training tends to be Pima County. We all have to check our egos at the door. This is a problem that none of us can solve alone. We all have to step up. We all have to work together. And we all have to put our money where our mouth is and start dealing with that issue.
Okay, Supervisor Ramon Valdez, thank you very much for being a guest here on the Buckmaster Show, and I hope the rest of your week goes very well. Thank you.
Thank you, Bill.
All right, coming up now on 12:30 on the Buckmaster Show, coming up next, a conversation with world-renowned planetary scientist Dr. William Hartman. He has some very interesting things to say about the origin of the moon and other issues that I find fascinating, and I think you will as well as we continue.
SRN News. I'm Rich Thomason in Washington. The Senate Foreign Relations Committee has just approved a resolution that gives President Obama authority to use military force against Syria. Now that resolution will be going to the full Senate for a debate and a vote. We're not sure yet exactly when that debate and vote will take place. Kentucky Republican Rand Paul says while advocates of military intervention may win in the Senate, they may not be able to pass the House. He opposes U.S. military action against the Bashar Assad regime. Ohio prison officials say Ariel Castro used a bedsheet to hang himself in his prison cell last night. His death came a little more than a month after he was sentenced to serve life in prison plus 1,000 years for holding three women captive in his home and abusing them for about a decade. Stock sharply higher. More details at srnnews.com.
Hey, have you noticed all the road construction in the Tucson area?
Yes, I see lots of road work.
Yeah, in fact, the Regional Transportation Authority is funding work right now for more than a dozen projects, including bus pullouts and intersections.
I sure see lots of RTA orange signs downtown and in the region.
Yeah, and I hear new RTA projects will begin soon.
Great. The RTA projects makes for better roads and safer driving for all of us.
Getting underway, the Houghton Broadway intersection. The RTA delivering our promise to you since 2006. Visit rtamobility.com or Facebook.
There are a million people in metropolitan Tucson, and they have a million stories to tell. That's why there is TucsonCitizen.com, the voice of Tucson. Nearly 100 citizen journalists and bloggers, including the Buckmaster Show, report the news and provide perspective, opinion, and information about everything from local politics to the Arizona Wildcats. Visit TucsonCitizen.com today to read what you can't find in traditional media or to contact us to add your voice to the voice of Tucson, TucsonCitizen.com.
Westin La Paloma, Tucson's iconic luxury resort and spa, is now better than ever with a $30 million rejuvenation that includes all guest rooms, public spaces, meeting rooms, upgraded golf and tennis, and new pool and lobby areas, plus enhanced dining. And the setting, well, it couldn't be better on 250 acres in the foothills of the Catalinas. Take a look at the rejuvenation at westinlapalomaresort.com. Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine and a full bar. Enjoy delicious soup, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley.
At Cox Business, we don't cook the entrees.
Order up!
But we are in the restaurant business. Just ask Kirsten Traina, co-owner of the Liberty Market Restaurant.
Power burger with cheddar.
She prefers doing business with local suppliers, including produce from a local farm, and internet and phone service from Cox Business. She counts on us for reliable internet, with speed options up to 100 times faster than basic DSL and feature-rich business phone service.
Margarita pizza!
And our award-winning local support team is available 24/7. Visit coxbusiness.com to get business internet select and phone for only $99 per month. Plus, ask about next-day professional installation.
And a carrot cake!
That's for me. Switch to Cox Business today and see how your business is our business. Offer valid until 9/30/13. Prices exclude taxes and other fees and may be subject to minimum service requirements. Speed comparison based on max download speed of Cox Business Internet service 150 megabits per second versus basic DSL 1.5 megabits per second service. Other restrictions may apply. Next day install subject to availability. Eligibility restrictions may apply.
Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show. Tucson planetary scientist Dr. William Hartman was recently presented with the Shoemaker Distinguished Lunar Scientist Award, given each year to a scientist who has significantly contributed to the field of lunar science throughout the course of their scientific career. The award by the Solar System Exploration Research Virtual Institute was presented to Dr. Hartman, who is a senior scientist and co-founder of the Tucson-based Planetary Science Institute. Dr. Hartman has had an amazing career that includes, along with the PSI co-founder Don Davis, development in the 1970s of the giant impact hypothesis for the formation of the moon. Their theory shows our moon was formed from the debris from a giant impact that resulted when a large asteroid crashed into Earth. Bill Hartman is a true Renaissance man who is a critically acclaimed painter, historian, and writer of fiction and non-fiction books. He is the author, actually, of more than a dozen books, including several that have now really been considered classics, like Desert Heart, Chronicles of the Sonoran Desert, Cities of Gold, Novel of the Ancient and Modern Southwest, A Traveler's Guide to Mars, The History of Earth, An Illustrated Chronicle of Our Planet, and his science fiction book, the sci-fi book, Mars Underground. Bill Hartman, good to see you.
Hey, thanks, Bill. Good to be back on your great show.
You knew Gene Shoemaker, who died in 1997 in a tragic accident in Australia. Mr. Shoemaker, an American geologist, one of the founders of the field of planetary science. He's best known for the co-discovery of Comet Shoemaker-Levy 9 with his wife Carolyn Shoemaker and our friend David Levy, the renowned comet discoverer and a contributor, regular contributor here to the Buckmaster Show. So this must make this award, Bill Hartman, very special.
Yeah, that was nice to know him. When we were graduate students here at the University of Arizona, a group of us went up to visit him, and he showed us a lot of hospitality. He was at the Museum of Northern Arizona in their research organization at that time, the early 60s. So we camped out there and looked at his lab and all of that. And then he went on to really start the big what's called astrogeology program within the U.S. Geological Survey up in Flagstaff. So that's the main center in the USGS program for studying planets. So he's had quite a career.
Your theory, along with the PSI co-founder Don Davis, about the way the moon was formed is fascinating and has now been widely accepted?
Well, yes and no, because, it has been widely accepted, and that we first published it in 1974, and I kind of went on and did other things, and Don did. And then it wasn't until 1984 that it was a big conference on the origin of the moon, and that idea of a very large object at the time the Earth was forming, crashing into the Earth and throwing out debris, and that debris made the moon. So that idea caught on and clearly became the leading idea. Now, what's really interesting now is that there are new data which some geochemists are saying is a real challenge to this idea. And that's kind of ironic and curious to Don and me, because we think the new data actually really supports what we said. And to make it just a short comment about that, I mean, our idea, of course, was that terrestrial Earth material was blown out and the moon was made from that material plus material from the impactor itself. So that's fine. But we had assumed that this early impactor came when the Earth was growing, so it would have been something like the Earth. Well, the new data are that the isotope chemistry of the moon and the Earth are exactly the same, whereas all the other materials we have from the solar system, rocks from Mars, meteorites from the asteroid belt, those all have different isotope chemistries. So Don and I are saying, hey, this is great. The moon really does look like it came from Earth material. The geochemists who are making the measurements, though, are tending to publish papers saying, well, we know today Earth gets hit by debris that has different isotopes, so therefore a mixture of, you know, an impactor hitting the Earth, the impactor material and the Earth material, that mix would have a different chemistry than the pure Earth material where we are standing on the Earth. So the question is, does this agree with the theory or disagree with the theory? And so we're hoping to, you know, pursue that in the next few months.
Simply put, what was the theory before the prior theory, before your 1970s research on the moon?
Well, one of the key puzzles at that time, and this is as the Apollo program was gearing up. So, you know, the Apollo landings were supposed to try to help solve this. But the curiosity was that we knew the Earth has a big iron core, and the moon simply doesn't have that. That was known way back in the 50s and 60s. Before Apollo. So the question was, how can you make the moon, how can you grow the moon right next to the Earth, and the Earth gets all this iron and the moon doesn't get it? So that seemed to argue against any kind of sister-brother type planetary formation. Well, then people came up with other ideas. What about we form the moon very far away and it comes in and gets captured into orbit around the Earth, and maybe it forms someplace where there's no iron? Well, that didn't really work very well because it's very hard to capture a big body like that. You'd have to slow it down to get it into orbit around the Earth. And then there was another idea that the Earth got the spinning so fast that it just spun off the lunar material. And that would help because it would be material from the outer part of the Earth, just as in our idea of blasting the material out of the outer part of the Earth. But the angular momentum and the physics of that whole situation didn't seem to work. I mean, there isn't enough angular momentum in the system today for the Earth to have been spinning that fast. So, you know, we just thought, well, if when the Earth was growing, there were other objects trying to grow in the same part of the solar system, and if one of those got to be up to the size of the planet Mars or so before it crashed into the Earth, you could blow a lot of material out of both of those bodies. And it would be the outer material. The iron core would still, all that iron would still be in the center. So you'd blow off all this rocky material, and everything seemed to work out just right for that.
Well, I certainly hope your theory continues to be proven to be accurate, and I hope that there's not too much dissension coming here.
Well, the main thing is to get the right theory, whether it's ours or not.
Tucson Planetary Science, Dr. William Hartman, Bill Hartman, is talking with us, and Dr. Hartman recently presented with the Shoemaker Distinguished Lunar Scientist Award. Dr. Hartman is the co-founder of the Tucson Planetary Science Institute. Want to talk a little bit about Mars and climate change, and what can we learn about our own climate here on Earth from Mars?
Well, there's something really interesting going on in Mars research, a little bit complicated, but imagine the Earth has a north-south polar axis, and most people know that's tipped about 23.5 degrees toward the sun, so that we get seasons as a result of that. Now, Mars, you look at Mars, and its axis is tipped 25 degrees, very similar. So the seasons on Mars are very much like the Earth. That's one of the ways Mars is Earth-like. Mars has a 24 and a half hour day, so that's pretty similar to Earth. But the new discovery some 10, 20 years ago was that axial tilt on Mars wobbles all over the place, whereas on the Earth it stays the same. That involves forces from the moon. So Mars is tilting about every 15 million years, kind of semi-periodically. And that suggests major climate changes in the last 10 million years on Mars, which is a very short time for a geologist. That's less than 1% of the history of the planet. So
it's a blink of the eye.
A blink of the cosmic eye. Yes, right. And so we were doing research on some of the photos coming back from Mars and discovered a crater that had a beautiful cluster of sort of tongue-shaped glaciers coming off of one wall down, descending into the crater. And it was that we've seen other features like that on Mars, but not but such a nice concentration. So I get together with some French scientists, and they had been doing a very clever thing of taking the Earth global climate models, the kinds of things that are used to talk about, you know, carbon dioxide, global warming, where the next hurricane's going to go, all of that. they plug in all the Mars data, the Mars gravity, the Mars atmosphere, the Mars topography, and run the model. And it turned out that when the axis of Mars tips over, the spot where this crater was, according to the model, gets the maximum ice deposition of any place outside the polar caps. So that was an amazing confirmation that you can run this climate model, which is designed for the Earth, and run it on another planet, and it actually predicts something we see on that planet. And the ages worked out right. I mean, that's another aspect. That's my contribution to the story, because we count up the number of impact craters and we can estimate ages from that.
So the global climate modelers may be onto something.
Well, that's right. And it was very interesting. We were doing a lot of this work during the last summer and the last year or so. And here was the presidential election. And we had a lot of major politicians in our country saying that all global climate research is nonsense, or that there's no global warming at all and no climate change. And if the modelers can predict something that we see on another planet, they must know what they're doing. So that was my conclusion anyway.
Dr. William Hartman with us. Bill Hartman is going to stick around for another segment. As we continue with the Buckmaster Show, we will be right back.
Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico make a great getaway for a weekend or longer. It's just 3 hours or so from Tucson and 15 degrees cooler to get to an area with so much to offer, from hiking, camping, exploring downtown historic Silver City, or just relaxing in a lovely environment. Visit southwestnewmexico.org for the complete list of great places to stay, and visit in Silver City, Grant County, New Mexico.
Hello?
Hey, honey. Just packing and getting ready for my flight home.
Great! You didn't forget about Adam's soccer game, did you?
Hey, it's his last game of the season. I wouldn't miss it for the world.
But you land at 4. How can you be there by 5?
No problem. I'm flying into Tucson. I parked right by the terminal, and the soccer field is only 10 minutes from the airport.
Flying from Tucson International Airport is convenient and cost-effective. Check out our cost comparison calculator at flytucson.com or text the word COMPARE to 51313. Fly Tucson. It's the way to go.
Widened and improved roads, new bike lanes, sidewalks, pedestrian crossings, and bus pullouts. Many of these safety improvements are funded by the Regional Transportation Authority through its 20-year plan, which is making a difference in our lives.
Hi, I'm Lori. I live near the Twin Peaks Interchange. Since that new interchange and road opened, life has become a whole lot simpler. The new road saves me time, and it's a beautiful drive. I love it.
The RTA, delivering our promise to you since 2006. Visit rtamobility.com or Facebook.
Southern Arizona is home to one of the world's most trusted sources of information on medicines. The Credible Meds website is visited each day by over 2,000 people from more than 60 countries. You too can learn how to personalize your medications and take control of your health care. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and join Bill Buckmaster each month as he and Dr. Ray Woosley, founder of Credible Meds, give you practical tips on how to get the most from your medications.
The nonprofit Tucson Animal Rescue Organization, Tucson Wildlife Center, is in the midst of a capital campaign to build Arizona's first state-of-the-art hospital for wildlife. The facility will help staff and volunteers care for nearly 1,000 raptors and mammals it receives each year at its Far East Side facility. To donate online, go to TucsonWildlife.com. For more information about wildlife rescue, visit the website or call 290-WILD.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Vero Amore restaurants are known as the place for authentic wood-fired Neapolitan pizzas, plus delicious pastas, panini, salads, and more. Every flavorful dish is homemade using the finest and freshest local and imported ingredients available. Vero Amore has two locations open daily, Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell, and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events.
Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show. We are speaking with Dr. William Hartman, who recently was presented with the Shoemaker Distinguished Lunar Scientist Award, given each year to a scientist who has significantly contributed to the field of lunar science through the course of their scientific career. Dr. Hartman is a senior scientist and co-founder of the Tucson-based Planetary Science Institute. And as I said at the beginning of the interview, he is certainly a true Renaissance man, a critically acclaimed painter, historian, writer of fiction and nonfiction works. Bill Hartman, I want to talk about, well, your book, Cities of Gold, was a novel about the Coronado expedition. Yeah. You have a new book that will be coming out from University of Arizona Press, again in the same time period, but this book will be a nonfiction piece.
Yeah, that's right. I've always been kind of interested in history, and of course my wife Gail is trained in archaeology, and we've been to a lot of interesting historic sites. And it always has always fascinated me, the first Spanish probes from Mexico up into what's now Arizona and the Southwest in the 1500s. The thing that really got me going on this book was that I'm writing about the whole period from Cortez, you know, who arrives in 1520 and conquers Mexico City, the Aztecs, the great Aztec pyramids and all of that. And then 1540, 20 years later, is this Coronado expedition. Now, most books in my lifetime have, you know, everything I've read, you know, you either read a book about Cortez or you read something about Coronado, but people don't realize that Cortez continued on through that whole period and was a major player and a kind of a scurrilous character. He was under some disrepute because a lot of the gold he had reported from the Aztecs was lost when they had to flee from Mexico City and fight their way back in. And who knows if all of that was lost, because there were a lot of rumors that Cortez himself had sequestered a lot of this gold away during all that chaos. So the Spanish king sent a new viceroy into Mexico City to run things. And so Cortez was always a competitor of that viceroy. And the viceroy is the guy who actually organized the Coronado expedition. So meanwhile, Cortez is sending ships up the Gulf of California and eventually went all the way back to Spain and complained to the king that the viceroy and Coronado were, you know, taking his, what should be rightfully his property. And he made all kinds of crazy claims that his ships had really been up to the same area that Cortez was exploring.
You usually don't hear about this rivalry kind of
exactly.
Between Cortez and
it makes a wonderful story.
Cortez
and it goes
and
on for decade after decade.
Because so. In this area of the country, we think about Coronado and the expedition.
And he came through the southeast corner of Arizona. That seems pretty clear now. And there is a site in the lower Sulphur Springs Valley that has produced some Coronado artifacts, actually, from that era at least. So it really looks like we're beginning to know just where these guys went. And that's such a fascinating hunt, you know, just you read these documents. They wrote memoirs and letters and many descriptions of where they were. But the puzzle has always been, well, what, you know, they say, well, we went to some mountains and we crossed a river and we turned to the east and, well, where were they?
The puzzle was the route, which mountain range. Yeah. But they did go as far as Kansas, correct?
Exactly.
Yeah.
And they had side expeditions that discovered the Grand Canyon, and they had ships going up the Colorado River. So they were really all over the place, and it's a fascinating period.
I want to talk a little bit about a couple of your other books, The Traveler's Guide to Mars. Is that a revised edition now?
Well, no, there's one edition, except that there has now been a Spanish edition published in Spain. And so we've got a Spanish language copy out, and I'd love to see some of those get into Mexico and let your kids and young adults and older adults read about Mars down there.
And the sci-fi book, Mars Underground, in this book you foresee a whole colony of people living underground.
Well, in a base on Mars, but the premise of the book was that a huge underground structure is found under the South Pole of Mars. And the questions are, how ancient is it? What sort of aliens had built it? But the theme of that book really is about the attempts to keep that discovery secret, because there were certain codicils and treaties that if we found any aliens on Mars, this would all be kept secret. So the countries who were occupying Mars, the Americans and the Russians actually is what I was kind of foreseeing or predicting, that they could possibly utilize that technology. And so it's a lot of the plot revolves around whether the journalists in the book should release that information and break the secrecy and so forth. So there's a lot of suspense in that.
Do you envision, say, 100 years from now, that space tourism will have really caught on, that people will be going certainly not only to the moon, but as far as Mars?
Well, I think that's a big issue. I think it's important for humanity to learn to be able to operate in the inner solar system, at least. And that would give us access to building huge solar panels, which can pretty much generate as much energy as you want. And there are engineering schemes for beaming that down to antenna farms, or they're called rectenna farms. It would be not a concentrated beam. It's a non-lethal beam. It would be microwave, and a big piece of Arizona could be receiving this and feeding all this free energy into the grid. So people are really looking at that. Plus, we know that the asteroids have lots of metals, and there could be, I can imagine, a relaxation of the mining of the Earth. We're constantly mining and drilling lower grade ores and fuels in order to keep up our industrial activity, and dumping all the pollutants into the atmosphere and the hydrosphere of Earth, whereas some of that can be transferred off of the Earth, I think. So that's the dream, and I hope it's more than tourism. And I'm a little disturbed because a lot of what we see now, the private enterprise attempts seem to focus around, celebrities paying $1 million to go fly in space.
Yeah, for about 10 minutes in space. Or something.
So, I'd like to see this to be more of a national effort and also more scientifically directed, and really trying to benefit all the peoples of Earth and not just simple one-shot deals,
But we're looking at, I think you have answered this question in the past when I have put it to you about putting a man and woman or both on Mars by, 2030, mid-2030s?
Oh, that is so hard to predict. I think it really depends on politics, geopolitics on the Earth more than on any technology. We could be starting that project now, but will it be a big international project so we share expenses? It's likely that the Chinese may put astronauts on the moon. That may jumpstart our Congress to start a new space race. You can visualize different futures, but at the moment, most of the economies of the Earth are struggling to get healthy again, and that has really slowed down any progress in the direction of human spaceflight.
We're going to have to wrap this up, but we do want to talk about the economics of the Planetary Science Institute. It really is an economic driver, and Tucson's very very fortunate to have it here.
I think so. I mean, we have something like $8 million coming in, and there are a number of small organizations studying nature, studying several archaeology organizations, nonprofits that are really playing a part in Tucson's economy. And you look at the business pages, you don't really realize that so much.
Dr. William Hartman, thank you very much for being with us. Congratulations on your Distinguished Lunar Scientist Award. Thanks a lot.
Thanks very much, Bill.
Bottled water on the Buckmaster Show is supplied by Culligan. Better water, pure and simple. Culligan, for all your residential and commercial water needs, we thank Culligan. All of our in-studio guests are provided with a nice chilled bottle of Culligan. Our guests thank you, I thank you, and everyone here at KVOI thanks you. Coming up this afternoon, it's the John C. Scott Show from 3 to 5. Then tomorrow morning, Wake Up Tucson with Chris and Joe. I'm Bill Buckmaster, wishing you a very pleasant afternoon and a wonderful evening. We'll be back with you at 12:04 tomorrow afternoon.
Intelligent Talk 24/7, AM 1030, KVOI, Cortero, Tucson. On the web at kvoi.com.